My name is David Goodson. I'm English, born and raised in England. And what was your question?
How do I identify myself?
Yeah. As a white British man, on like face value, but I don't really like pigeonholing myself to my country, because I don't really feel like I fit the stereotype of what British people are. In the way that I'm quite outgoing and quite outspoken, like my personality, British people tend to be quite closed and stiff and a bit of a recluse, whereas I'm the polar opposite to that. So I identify as a white British man, but kind of like a person of the world in a way as well. Like, I love culture, I love traveling, and I love experiencing new things. And so, I don't really like pigeonholing myself.
Sorry, I think it's just got like a little bit louder in here. You mind sitting outside?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, all right, let's
see
that.
Yeah, mind as well.
I always think it's interesting when people say like I'm from a place, but I don't feel like I am representative of that. And my friend actually wrote a book about being a global citizen where, you know, you might be born in a certain country and come from a certain family, but because of like the time we live in, and if you have that access, you're able to either re-identify or just go somewhere where you feel more like you more aligned with who you are.
I think because England is such a melting pot of culture.
There's
so many different, like just so many different nationalities and races there. That, and the world is so accessible now that I think, it feels a little bit old fashioned to be like, I'm British. Like, I am British raised, but I don't feel like it. Like, I'm not the most patriotic person. You know, everyone loves the royal family. I swear Americans love the royal family more than Brits do anyway. But I'd say I'm more of a person of the world, which I think is quite a common thing for younger people to say nowadays.
Because
they feel it more,
And so what would, what is like a typical English person? Why do you feel like you're a little bit different from that?
So I think English people tend to be quite reserved. They're quite judgmental, but internally judgmental.
Okay.
And they don't like a fuss or a scene. Like, they don't like a bother. So if there's something going, if they order coffee and it's the wrong coffee order, say someone like an American is more likely to be like, excuse me, this is wrong. A British person be like, no, it's fine, it's okay, I'll drink it, not a problem. Like, don't cause a scene. No, it's fine, honestly. Like, they tend to be a little bit more reserved, really. And I feel like I'm quite the opposite. I'm quite a bubbly person, I'm quite chatty and quite confident and and forward with how I present myself. Whereas English people tend to hold themselves back a little bit, and it can read as kind of like snobbery, or it can skew that way. And so often people think that they're being looked down at by an English person, when in fact they're not necessarily looking down at you, they're just holding back themselves. When you really get into England and you get like out of London and you go into the towns and stuff, and you really meet all of the people that live in England, they're a very funny bunch. And a very colourful bunch of people, quite rude, dark humoured as well. And I love that. But yeah, if you're looking at the face value of British people, people tend to look at more of the conservative side of things. And so like the upper classes, and assume that that's what England's like. Whereas you go down to the middle class and working classes and it's completely different.
And does your view of being less British, did that like influence you to travel more? Because clearly we're here in Miami, not in London.
I think that stems from my family, really, because my parents are, my mother was born in Hong Kong and she grew up in Dusseldorf in Germany. My father was born in Malaga, but he grew up in Kenya. They're both white, and blood wise, we're mainly French Norwegian blood. But that's quite standard in the UK to have European blood and mixes, especially like Norwegians, because it's Vikings and things. So we've been invaded so many times. So there's it's a whole melting pot, like I said. But because of their quite adventurous lives as children, it's kind of stemmed from that, really. Growing up on their stories, like my grandma was definitely my inspiration for my work and what I do. So I work with animals and I'm in conservation and a zoologist and things. And that's definitely stems from her teaching me about Africa. And we used to plant trees in the forest and then write them on maps where they were and then go and revisit them every few months, see how they're growing.
You said your grandmother's a rally driver?
Well, she was at one point,
Okay,
so
yeah.
She's such, I love my grandma. Like, she's the most amazing lady in the world. She's 91 years old. She still lives on her own and she's not on any medication. Like, she is just phenomenal. Like, I absolutely adore her. So she was a nurse. Well, she's been a nurse, she's been a rally driver. She's had three husbands. Like, yes. She's just, I know, she's amazing. Like, she's just lived a life.
Yeah.
My mother is retired now. She took early retirement, but she was a nurse.
Okay.
So she worked in palliative care in a hospital. Yeah. And then my father is a car engineer.
Oh, nice.
And now runs his own business, working with cars and doing stuff like that. So not necessarily animal inclined jobs, but they've always been very nature orientated. So like they're always in the garden. They do things in the garden to help wildlife as well, like with the bird feeders and things like that.
Being nurses is like a very helping and caring
nature.
So yeah, nurturing. Yeah, actually that could parlay over.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. And so they did that in Africa and then in the UK as well?
No. My mum, like I said, she grew up in Germany until she, in her early teens. Mm. And then she moved to England. And my father, after school and everything, his family moved to England, to the south of England.
Yeah.
To the south of England. And they met in a pub in, I think, Ringwood, like in Hampshire or somewhere. I was like, why didn't you meet in a pub in Dusseldorf or Malaga or Kenya or wherever, you know? But yeah, so they were well-traveled at a young age. And so I've always... They kind of opened my eyes to the world and like showed that it is accessible. And why wouldn't you want to travel? That's what I think. Like, why wouldn't you want to go to amazing places that only 50, 60 years ago you couldn't do?
Yeah.
And now you can. Like, why on earth would you want to stay in one place?
But it's something I ask a lot of people that I know, even in America. It's like, why do you not want to leave and see the rest of the world? And they're like, oh, you could do so much in America. Yes. It is a massive country, but you don't get the experiences of like just meeting other people and doing all that.
Completely. And just having your eyes opened. Like a great example was last year I went to Albania on holiday. And a lot of my friends who don't travel much, they were all saying, they're like, why on earth are you going to Albania? But like, it's dangerous. It's a dodgy country. Now, they do, of course, have their downsides when it comes to legal activities, but they also have a massive, at the moment, they've got a huge push for tourism.
Yeah.
It's the same with any country. Every country's got a dangerous place.
Yeah.
If you stick to the places that are safe, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But there seems to be a fearful side to people who don't travel that the worst is going to happen.
Literally, I was just in Mexico for a friend's bachelorette, and it was just after, I think, an American was shot and somebody else was murdered down there.
Right.
But it was also right after the Super Bowl parade shooting in America. So I'm just like, Where is more dangerous? Like, we have the exact same problems.
It baffles me with being in America and experiencing America for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Is how people are like, oh, that's dangerous. It's like, but so are your schools. Like, that's different to England. We don't have that. So,
Is it your first time here?
To the States, yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, shit. Welcome. Nice.
I've traveled a bit around the world, but never been to the States.
Awesome. Mm. What are like the biggest differences you've noticed about Americans versus English people versus yourself, if you could pinpoint like maybe three things? Yeah.
Okay, cool. So firstly, I really like America. Yeah. Coming here has been amazing. And I feel like I fit into both countries.
Yeah.
I love England. I love the humor. I kind of love how stiff upper lip they are.
Yeah.
I find it quite comical. But Americans are very open. They're very friendly. People say hello to you on the street. That wouldn't happen in England. Someone you don't know, you just wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, and if you did, they would look at you weird. They'd be like, why are you saying hello to me? You don't know me. Whereas in America, they're super friendly. And I like that because I'm a friendly, open person.
Yeah.
So that definitely sides with my personality. But the things that open my eyes with America, it depends where you go. Because for me, I've been to three places in the last few weeks. And it's Atlanta. Well, outskirts of Atlanta, DC and Miami.
Yeah.
DC loved.
Yeah.
It reminded me of London a lot, actually, but like a cleaner version. Because London's like 1,000 years old and it has really old buildings and it's rough around the edges. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
It's that it's a bit gritty and dirty. DC felt very polished.
Yeah.
And then Miami, like I've fallen in love with Miami. Like, not just the weather, obviously, but the people. And I like the culture here, the more Latin vibe.
Yeah.
It's colorful, it's vibrant. It's got energy, and that I love. Yeah,
it is one of the most unique parts of this country. Like every time I come here, I feel like I've left America. In the best ways, like felt like I've left America, like left the suburbs and everything that you expect of like East Coast cities. And you can definitely get a different vibe here.
A lot of people have said that to me. Well, my cousin who lives here said he's like Georgia will give you America.
Yes,
he's like Miami will give you like Latin South America.
Yeah.
He's like it's very different, and I've loved seeing the contrast of the two. When I was in Georgia, I was amazed at how big the place was, and you had to drive everywhere, and like. In England, you can walk 2 minutes down the road to a corner shop to get a drink. In like America, you have to drive.
Yeah.
And if you're in Georgia, where I was, it's 20 minutes to get a drink. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
And funny enough, Georgia actually felt quite antisocial because,
really?
Yeah, in the way that where I was a little bit remote. Everyone drives, no one walks anywhere. So you don't actually see people or talk to anyone because you're always in your car on your own or with a family member. But you don't see people on the streets, unless you go to the cities and in the towns. But when you're on the outskirts where I was, it was weirdly a little bit eerie because there was just no one around. And I kept saying to my auntie, I was like, no one walks here, do they? Like, no one walks, like, on the pavement, on the sidewalk. She's like, no, it's not a thing.
Yeah. Somebody asked me last night, they're like, what is Atlanta like? And I'm like, it's not bad, but it's not, like, a tourist destination in my eyes. I don't know if you saw it differently.
No.
And it's, like, definitely, like, a livable place. Like, the city itself has grown, and, like, you know, the suburbs are fine, but it's not, like, a place you're just like, I'm going to go vacation in Atlanta. Like,
no, it wasn't, like, top of the choice. But I was strategic with where I went because I have family here.
Where else are you planning on going?
I'm not too sure. Well, we're going to Key West, Bahamas. I went to Orlando, but state-wise, I'm doing the three states.
Okay. So where else have you been and that's influenced your identity of yourself or like who you are?
I think when it comes to traveling, I think because of like my work, I work outside, always have worked outside. Yeah. I'm not the type of person that if I'm traveling, I don't tend to go to cities. Mm. I will do for like 1 or 2 days. Mm-hmm. But I prefer going on adventures anyway.
Yeah.
And so like the standout places I've been that I loved for lots of many, many reasons. Albania was amazing. Yeah. Like I loved Albania. Like the people, you could not find nicer people, more accommodating people as well, like happy to help you with anything. Because their tourism is quite young, they're really keen to build it and build that reputation. So they do anything and everything for you. Like they're just fun. Yeah. Like they're really fun, laid back people to hang out with. Madeira, I loved Madeira, which is a Portuguese island.
Yeah.
That more for the geography and the like wilderness there. It's the most, I don't know if you've been.
I have not, no.
It is the most incredible place. Right. It's like Avatar meets King Kong.
Ooh.
Like it has everything on it. So you've got black sand beaches with waterfalls into the sea, and then you've got foggy forests that throughout the day are constantly covered in fog. You then have 100-foot waterfalls at the top of mountains that you have to trek 6 hours up to get to. Madeira was phenomenal. I went for 5 days and hiked 45 kilometers in 5 days with me and my best mate, and I could have stayed there for longer and longer. Like, it was just amazing. It was the most beautiful place. The food was a bit questionable, but it's Portuguese seafood, and I do like seafood, but it's not like my number one.
Yeah.
But for me, when I'm going traveling, I like to go for I'm not a foodie person, really. I like to go for culture, and I like to go for wildlife and see the difference. And for me, I'm abroad when I see different wildlife. And so, when I was in Jamaica, I was in Jamaica when I was sat on the beach and pelicans were diving in the sea in front of me, and then a turtle swam past.
Yeah.
I was like, now I'm somewhere different.
See, yeah, I love that perspective because I'm very similar too. Like when I first started traveling, I went to go to the big cities and like see all the cool stuff. But then I realized everything, it feels the same. I don't know if you agree. Like cities, you have Starbucks, you have like your generic brands. Yeah. But then like for me, it's less of the wildlife because I don't like to be too sweaty too much, but it's the people. So when like I can go somewhere and like not see an American and talk to other people, that's when I feel like I've arrived somewhere. Because resorts and hotels, you're usually filled with other like Western tourists versus like going out and like seeing other people.
Mm-hmm, My family's always been like nature and wildlife orientated anyway.
Yeah.
And I grew up on my dad's stories as a child. So my dad went to boarding school in England. Mm. And then when he wasn't at school, he lived in Kenya. I think it was Kenya. Yeah, Kenya. And so I grew up on his stories of giraffes walking past the house in the morning, and my grandma talking about how she used to be a rally driver and like dodging wildebeest and zebra. And I was just like, that's really cool. Like, that's just so cool. And when I was little, I wanted to work with dinosaurs. And then I was really sad to find out that they died out. Yeah. They weren't around anymore. But animals were the next best thing.
Yeah.
My grandma was definitely the biggest influence for me.
Yeah.
And she's a huge David Attenborough fan, as am I. He's absolute legend. He's phenomenal. And my parents are very, my dad always instilled in me and my sister, do what you love. You know, money comes, money goes, and comes back around again and goes again, but do what you love.
Yeah.
And so they've always pushed me to follow my passion. So, I started working with animals when I was 14, with birds of prey, and then I built on it from there. I studied ecology and biogeography at university and worked as an ecologist for a while. And then, that's going to be hard to edit out.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
But yeah, so I started working with Birds of Prey when I was 14, mm-hmm. and then studied ecology at uni, worked as an ecologist for a while, and then fell into zoology, and I've been working with mainly African animals for about 9 or 10 years.
Nice.
For me, I like to say if I'm outside, then I'm happy. Yeah. It's the main thing. Like, I'm not an office bod.
No.
At all. I can do it, and I've done it, but I'd much rather be outside all weathers as well, even if it's raining, freezing cold.
Yeah.
I love it, yeah.
Oh, man, I love animals, and I can appreciate outside, but I don't think I can do that. Yeah,
it's not for everyone.
All right, cool. And then, like, through your work and or your travel, like, if there's one thing you could, like, impart into the world and my, like, 300 listeners, like, is there anything that, like, words of wisdom you would want to share?
Words of wisdom? Oh, gosh. I think it's important to just to keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
In a way. Like, what I always say is it costs nothing to be nice.
Mm.
Like, it's free
yeah.
to be nice to people. And so keep your eyes open and always be nice, because you never know what people are going through wherever you are in the world.
Yeah.
And I've met so many interesting people through the years around the world that are going through the most incredibly hard times or have gone through the worst times in the world. And yeah, like, a great example would be, so someone did it to me, actually. I was in Ireland and I was walking down the road and I was low, I had a rough year and I felt rubbish, and this lady turned around to me and she's like, oh, I really like your hair.
No.
And on the street, randomly,
just,
and I was like, oh, thank you. And like, and it put a smile on my face.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's amazing. Like, that's someone I don't know, I'm never gonna meet again, who didn't have to do that and did. And I was like, that's so nice to, like, just be nice.
Nice. Yeah.
And people, I think in this day and age, forget, like, we live in such a stressful world, all around the world as well.
Yeah.
Some countries more than others, that we forget that it costs nothing and it means a lot just to be nice to people wherever you go.
Yeah.
But also, like I said, keep your eyes open, like, and be conscious and aware of where you are and respectful of it as well. Quite often I see people go to places, like, where was I? I was in Egypt, and we're in, like, the temples or the Valley of the Kings, and there was a group of people that I won't say where from, but they're being very, very loud and disrespectful and, like, jumping on monuments for photos and things. And I was just like, just do your homework before you go somewhere.
Yeah.
One, for your own enrichment, but also so you're respectful to the country you're going to.
Right.
Because everyone's different. And so, yeah, I'd say the takeaways is that. It's like, be respectful, mindful, open, and open your eyes to where you are.
I love it.
Absorb it all, but also be nice at the same time. Just generally be a good human. Just be a nice, just try and be a nice person.
This should apply even if you're
not
traveling.
Yeah. Like,
awesome.
Is that all right?
That works, yeah.
Wait.
Thank you.